This article is brought to you by the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Communication strategies to handle conflict calmly. A practical system for staying grounded when conversations get hard. In short, difficult conversations at work really fail because of what you say. They fail because of when you say it, how you frame it, and whether you have a clear process to follow when the pressure rises. Calm is not a personality trait. It is a skill built through preparation and practice. Most conflict stays unresolved because people wait too long or start the wrong way. A clear, step-by-step approach protects both the relationship and the outcome. Definition: communication strategies to handle conflict calmly are structured approaches to interpersonal disagreement that keep both parties focused on resolution rather than reaction. They combine emotional regulation, clear language, and a repeatable process to address tension directly without damaging working relationships. I watched a project manager lose her best team member over something that could have been resolved in 20 minutes. She had noticed the tension for weeks. She knew there was a problem, but every time she considered raising it, she told herself it would blow over. It did not blow over. It hardened into resentment, and by the time she finally sat down for the conversation, the other person had already decided to leave. The real failure was not what she said when she finally spoke. It was the 6 weeks she spent avoiding it. This is the pattern I see most often when difficult conversations go wrong. The issue itself is really the problem. The problem is that most people carry the conversation around in their heads for days before they ever open their mouth. And by the time they do, they are either over-rehearsed and rigid, or so flooded with emotion that their communication strategies collapse on contact. This guide gives you a process that works before, during, and after the conversation, so you can handle conflict calmly and come out with the relationship intact. Why difficult conversations feel impossible before they begin? The hardest part of any difficult conversation is rarely the conversation itself. It is the anticipation. Your brain treats potential conflict as a threat. It runs through worst-case scenarios, rehearses arguments, imagines the other person's reaction going badly. By the time you sit down across from them, you are already emotionally spent, and you have not said a word yet. This is what makes most people either avoid the conversation entirely or come in too hot. There's also the fear of being wrong. When you raise a concern with someone, you expose your own perception of events. That feels vulnerable. And so people wait for certainty they will never have, or they dress the conversation in so much softening that the actual issue gets lost. Neither strategy works. The conversation still needs to happen. And the longer you leave it, the harder the ground becomes. What you need in place before you start. Before you speak, you need two things settled: what you are actually addressing and what you genuinely want to come out of the conversation. These sound obvious. They are not. Most people walk into difficult conversations with a cloud of grievances rather than a specific issue. They have been storing things up, and the conversation becomes a verdict rather than a discussion. The other person gets defensive, the conversation spirals, and nothing is resolved. Specificity is your anchor. Know the one thing you are addressing, and name it in a single sentence before you begin. The second thing is your goal. Ask yourself honestly whether you want to punish or whether you want to repair. If the answer is punishment, you are not ready yet. A productive, difficult conversation has a shared outcome: clarity, a changed behavior, a restored working relationship. If you walk in already having decided how it ends, you're not having a conversation. You are delivering a sentence. If you are supporting two colleagues through conflict rather than managing your own, the article on how unmet needs drive team conflict and what to say to restore synergy gives you the framework for understanding what is underneath the surface tension. A step-by-step process for staying grounded under pressure. This is the process I have refined over decades of getting it wrong first. It has 6 steps. Follow them in order. Number 1. Write out your opening statement before you speak. Do not go in cold. Write 1 or 2 sentences that describe the specific situation or behavior you want to address, without evaluative language. Not you have been dismissive in meetings, but in the last 3 team meetings, you spoke over 2 colleagues when they were mid-sentence. Observation, not judgment. Keep it to what you actually saw or heard. Read it back to yourself and ask whether someone who did not agree with you could still recognize the situation you are describing. If yes, you are ready. Number 2. Choose the setting with intention. Private. Not a corridor. Not a message thread. Not a quick word before a meeting. A room with the other person does not feel cornered or publicly exposed. If you manage someone, do not use a formal performance review setting for the first attempt. That raises the stakes before you have even begun. For remote teams, this means a video call, not a voice call. You need to see each other's faces to manage the emotional temperature of the room. Read more about how to handle conflict during meetings if the tension surfaces in a group setting first. Number 3. Open with your observation, not your conclusion. Deliver your prepared opening. State what you observed, then stop. Give the other person space to respond. Most people go wrong here because they fill the silence immediately with explanation or justification, and that cuts off the other person's first genuine response, which is often the most honest thing they will say. Your observation is not an accusation. Say it plainly, and then listen. A working script. I want to talk about something I noticed in our last few team meetings. When Siobhan and Rory were speaking, there were a few moments where you talked over them before they finished. I do not think you meant anything by it, but I wanted to raise it because it is affecting how the team communicates. Can you tell me how that has been landing for you? Number 4. Ask before you conclude. Before you say what you think the cause is, ask. This is the step people most often skip, and it is the one that most often changes the outcome. There is almost always context you do not have. The person may be under pressure you are unaware of. They may have their own version of events that is entirely reasonable. You are not conducting a hearing. You are trying to understand the full picture. A direct question like what has been going on for you in those meetings costs nothing, and often reveals that the problem is entirely different from what you assumed. For a structured approach to raising issues that are blocking your team, the guide on how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's synergy gives you a clear opening sequence. Number 5. Name the impact without inflating it. Once you have heard their perspective, describe the effect of the behavior on the team or on the work. Be specific and proportionate. Do not catastrophize. Do not minimize. This is affecting how comfortable people feel contributing in meetings is more honest and more useful than this is destroying team morale. Inflation triggers defensiveness. Precision opens dialogue. If the other person becomes defensive despite your care with language, name what you see. I notice this feels difficult to hear. I want you to know I am not here to attack you. I am trying to work this out together. When feedback itself becomes a source of conflict, the core framework for staying calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction is worth having in your toolkit. Number 6. Agree a specific next step before you close. This is where most difficult conversations fail to land. People talk, things feel resolved in the room, and then nothing changes because no one was clear about what would be different. End every difficult conversation with an agreed action. Not a vague "let's keep communicating," something concrete. So for the next 2 team meetings, you're going to let people finish before you respond. I will check in with you after Thursday's session. Does that work? A specific next step turns a conversation into a commitment. It also gives you a clear, respectful basis to return to if nothing changes. The deal method for resolving conflicts that are fracturing team synergy gives you a complementary structure for the resolution phase of this process, especially when the tension involves more than 2 people. When the conversation happens across distance. Remote and hybrid teams bring a particular challenge. You cannot read the room. You cannot see the small shift in someone's posture when a word lands badly, or the way someone pulls back slightly when they feel cornered. That loss of nonverbal information means you have to do more with your words and your questions. A few adjustments make a real difference in remote difficult conversations. First, send a brief, neutral message beforehand. I would like to set aside 30 minutes this week to talk through something. No urgency, nothing serious. I just want to clear the air on a couple of things. This removes the ambush quality that surprises people and raises their defenses before you begin. Second, build in deliberate pauses during the call. Ask how is this landing for you so far, midway through. Remote conversations flatten emotion. You need to actively create space for the other person to respond. Third, send a written summary of what was agreed within an hour of the call ending. Memory is selective, especially after a charged exchange. A clear, neutral record protects both of you. If the conflict involves 2 colleagues who will not engage with each other, the approach to diffusing tension between 2 colleagues who refuse to cooperate works in remote settings with the same adjustments. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emumblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where these conversations break down. Here is the truth of it. I have made every one of these mistakes myself, some of them many times. The mistake, waiting until the issue, is critical before raising it. Why it happens? People hope the problem will resolve itself, and raising it feels risky. What to do instead? Address it at the first sign of a pattern, not where it has become a crisis. An early conversation is almost always easier than a late one. The mistake, opening with blame or a character judgment rather than an observation. Why it happens? Frustration colours the language. You're always dismissive feels like an accurate description when you're tired of the behaviour. What to do instead? Stick to what you observed. Behaviour can be changed. Character is a verdict. The mistake. Treating silence as agreement. Why it happens. When the other person goes quiet or seems to accept what you are saying, it feels like resolution. What to do instead? Ask directly. Does this make sense from your side? Silence often means the other person has shut down, not that they have agreed. The mistake. Ending the conversation without a concrete next step. Why it happens. The conversation felt productive and both people are relieved it is over. What to do instead? Before you close, name the specific change you have agreed and when you will both check back in. This is the step that makes the conversation matter. The DEAL method for resolving disagreements about feedback at work addresses this last mistake in detail, particularly when the issue involves contested feedback. Your pre-conversation checklist. Before you walk into a difficult conversation, run through this. It takes less than 5 minutes, and it is worth every second. Number 1. Can I state the specific issue in one sentence, using observable behaviour rather than judgment? Number 2. Do I know what outcome I want from this conversation? Number 3. Have I chosen a private setting, where the other person will not feel exposed? Number 4. Have I prepared my opening statement and kept it neutral in tone? Number 5. Am I prepared to hear something that changes my understanding of the situation? Number 6. Do I have a specific next step in mind that I can propose at the end? Number 7. If this is a remote conversation, have I given the other person advance notice, and do I have a plan to follow up in writing? If you cannot answer yes to every question, take another hour before you begin. Preparation is not delay. Preparation is the work. The conversation you keep avoiding is costing you more than you think. Every day a difficult conversation goes unaddressed, the ground gets a little harder. Resentment builds. The story you're telling yourself about the other person grows less generous. By the time you finally speak, you're not having the conversation about the original issue anymore. You are having the conversation shaped by every week you waited. The good news is that a clear process changes this. Not perfectly, not every time, but consistently enough to trust it. When you know how to handle conflict calmly, the conversation loses its power to frighten you. You stop waiting for the perfect moment and start using the method you have prepared. That is where the real shift happens, not in a single breakthrough conversation, but in the willingness to begin. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to handle conflict calmly at work? To handle conflict calmly means staying regulated enough to listen, speak clearly, and focus on resolution rather than winning. It does not mean suppressing emotion. It means choosing your response deliberately rather than reacting from the heat of the moment. How do you prepare for a difficult conversation at work? Write down the specific behaviour or situation you want to address, not a list of grievances. Decide what outcome you need. Choose a private setting and a time where neither person is rushed. Go in with the goal of understanding the other person, not just making your point. What are the best communication strategies to handle conflict calmly? The most effective strategies include naming the issue clearly without blame, asking questions before stating conclusions, acknowledging the other person's perspective, and agreeing on a specific next step before the conversation ends. Preparation and tone matter as much as the words you choose. How do you stay calm during a conflict conversation? Slow your breathing before you begin. Keep your language neutral and factual rather than evaluative. If the conversation escalates, name what is happening without judgment, say you want to pause, and come back to this. Calm is a skill you build through practice, not a personality trait. What mistakes do people make during difficult conversations? The most common mistakes are waiting too long to address the issue, opening with blame instead of observation, treating the conversation as a verdict rather than a discussion, and skipping an agreed next step at the end. Each of these can be corrected with a clear process applied consistently. How do you handle conflict calmly in a remote team? In remote settings, avoid text or email for difficult conversations. Use video so both people can read facial expressions and body language. Agree on a structured agenda beforehand so neither person feels ambushed. Follow up the conversation with a written summary of what was agreed. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.